There is no one that we should bow before, no one that we should pray to, no one that's the mediator, but Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the one and only mediator between God and man.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick, in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor at New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, I am so excited for the second half of your message here today, Divine Appointments. You have us in Acts chapter 10, and you've been helping us explore the idea that God has divine appointments all around us that we may or may not be recognizing. And today in the second half of this message, how are you going to develop that idea for us?
Yeah, well, we talked in the first part of the message that, hey, God has been working behind the scene before you ever show up, and he has been preparing you for that divine appointment. And in this second half of the message, we're going to be looking at the fact that God is willing to step in. He's willing to step in when we are willing to step out in faith. Mm.
What if we don't? What if we don't step out in faith? Are we missing opportunities?
You know, I believe that if we don't step out in faith, that we will miss the divine opportunities, and God always accomplishes his will, so he'll have to find someone else to step into areas that we were unwilling to. Mm. And in the end, God will accomplish his purpose, and God will do his will, but we will miss out on the incredible privilege and opportunity of being used of God.
What a powerful, powerful thought. And I love the whole idea that you developed here, and you had mentioned the first half of this message. And friends, if you're listening today, and this message is for you, and you missed the first half, Pastor Mark, how can people find out about that?
Yeah, people can listen to over 400 messages, including the first and second part of these messages, by downloading our free app called Straight Talk App, by going to www.pastormarkjobe.org. That's pastormarkjobe.org, and downloading it.
Yeah, you know, I love the app. I love the resources that are there and sharing stories with others. And again, that's pastormarkjobe.com. You can download it for free, pastormarkjobe.com. For free right now, listen to all the messages. Listen to the first half of this. Share it with a friend. And as we get into the Word today, may your heart be stirred to recognize the divine appointments right near you right now.
Some of you, God is preparing your heart to seize the opportunity that he has for you. God may be breaking down some of your boxes. That side of the family that you can't stand, that you don't talk to, God is maybe you're the person that God is saying, no, you're the one that's going to talk to them. Maybe it's a neighbor that no one likes. And God says, maybe no one likes them, but you are the only Christian in their life, and I'm preparing you to speak into their life. You see, God had to break down Peter's prejudice so that he was willing to seize the opportunities that God would give him. When these people came to his house and knocked at the door, because he had been in prayer and prayer had prepared him to think out of the box, then he was ready to seize the opportunity that God had given him. Can I tell you something? I believe that every single major breakthrough that this church has happened on the heels of fasting and prayer. The reason that we planted locations all over Chicago was that during a season of fasting and prayer, God said to us, it's time to multiply. We clearly had this sense that God had a vision for the whole city, and we weren't hitting the whole city. Many of the locations that you see around Chicago, and even our international locations, it was during times of fasting and prayer that God had to open up our mind and give us the vision and the faith to say, okay, take a step of faith now. So I'm calling you to do more than what you expect. But God had to soften our hearts in prayer. Prayer not only speaks to the heart of God, but prayer changes us as well, so that we're ready to embrace the divine opportunities that God has for us. There's a couple that every 6 months, they're in their mid-70s now, but every 6 months, we fly them in from England, from the UK, Peter and Mariette Stott. They're in their mid-70s. They've been pastoring for a long time. They come in every 6 months, and they just travel around and meet with our pastoral couples. They kind of minister to our pastoral couples as a seasoned, loving, shepherding, prophetic voice into their lives. But I was thinking how we met them in the beginning. Let me tell you how we met them. Peter and Mariette were pastoring a church in Havant, England. And they were in a prayer meeting. When they were in this prayer meeting, they were praying that God would move in England, that God would move throughout Europe, that God's presence would really come. And they were fired up in this prayer meeting and praying really strong. And so they laid out a map of Europe on the living room floor where they were praying. And these 20 or so people that were praying and asking God that would move, they started praying over the map. And then they centered into the country of Spain. And one of them in the prayer meeting said, "It feels like this name in the middle of Spain is just jumping off the page at me. The name is Burgos, B-U-R-G-O-S. And he said, "I feel like it's just jumping out at me, like God wants us to do something in that city." And he said, "Has anybody been to Burgos?" "No." "Does anybody know anybody in Burgos?" "No." But they all prayed together and they said, "God wants to do something special in that city." And so as an act of faith, they sent two people down to Burgos from England to see what God wanted to do. So these two English people traveled to Spain. They got to Burgos and then they just started to pray. They went through the street and said, "God, you brought us here for a reason. We really don't know why, and we don't speak Spanish." So when they would run into people on the street, they would say, Cristianos, Biblia, prayer, donde? And one of them ran into a person and they said, "Oh, Cristianos, yeah, you want Cristianos? Over there, over the funeral place, you need to go there. There's some people that love the Bible, that read the Bible and love God." And so they made their way over to that place and they found a little Christian church that was meeting in that place. And they went to the pastor that was starting to get something going. And they said, "We've come all the way from England because we believe God has called us to this place." You know who that pastor was? My father, Robert Job, pastoring in Burgos, Spain. Peter and Mariette developed a strong relationship with them. And they started traveling back and forth to Spain and back and forth to England. And now Peter and Mariette travel here to the U.S., but it all started and have been an incredible blessing to this church, but it all started because in a prayer meeting, someone was sensitive to the voice of God. How many of you know that God wants to lead you to divine appointment? How many of you know that God has divine appointments all around us, but sometimes we're walking by the very divine appointments that God has for us because we're not asking, "Lord, do you want to use me? Lord, should I speak up? Lord, are you opening up a door?" We're walking by all these incredible opportunities because we've never stopped to say, "God, here I am, use me." Peter said, "Okay, God, if you want to use me, here I am, speak through me." And when they knocked at the door, these three Gentiles, because God had softened up his heart, he opened up his heart, he had a meal with them, he invited them into the home, even though he had never done that before with any other Jewish people. He invited him into the home, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit that was inviting him. And he said, "Okay, now I'm ready to go 30 miles away with you to Cornelius," which leads me to my third point. Not only has God been working before you showed up, he's been preparing you. And number three, God will step in when we step out in faith. Verse 25. The Bible says that Peter got to Joppa. I've been to Joppa, by the way, which is a seaport city. It's you'll have heard of it because hundreds of years earlier, there was a prophet by the name of Jonah that was running from God. Peter got to Joppa, traveled 30 miles to get to this house with the servants of Cornelius. And the Bible says he got to the house, he entered the house, and Cornelius met him. And Cornelius, this Roman guard that had a lot of power, a lot of people under him, this Roman commander, he falls at Peter's feet, almost as if Peter were a god. And he says he met him and he fell at his feet in reverence. I want you to notice what Peter did. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I'm only a man myself. Can I just stop a second and just point something out? Peter didn't want any worship. He didn't want anybody at his feet. He didn't want anybody bowing before him. Do you know I've seen statues, quote unquote, of St. Peter and seen people go and kiss his feet and bow before him? Can I tell you something? There is no one that we should bow before, no one that we should pray to, no one that's the mediator, but Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the one and only mediator between God and man. You say, but Pastor, I really like St. Peter. That's good. Well, if you really like St. Peter, then you need to worship Jesus, because St. Peter would tell you, get up. What are you doing on your knees? Get up and worship Jesus. There's a big basilica in Rome, aptly named the Basilica or Cathedral of St. Peter. And in the Basilica in Rome of St. Peter, there's a big statue of St. Peter. I've been there, I've seen it, and people go and they kiss the feet of St. Peter, the statue of St. Peter, asking favors for him and interceding, asking that St. Peter would intercede for them. And I know some of you here were raised in a way where you had certain saints and people that you would pray to. Some of you had this special one that you would bury upside down so you could sell your house, I know. Some of you have little shrines in your house. You have St. Jude for safety. And you have St. this for that and St. that for the other and St. that. I'm going to tell you something. God bless godly men and women that have come before us. But the moment you bow your knee to any saint, it's called idolatry. St. Peter would tell you, get off your knees. Do never worship me, St. Peter would say. You worship Jesus. I'm talking to some of you. Some of you need to get rid of your idols. Some of you need to stop praying to statues. You need to stop praying to idols. You need to get rid of them. You need to get them out of your house. It's offensive to God, offensive to Jesus the Savior, to pray to anyone or anything that's not praying to God through his son, Jesus Christ. It's like a slap in the face of the cross of Jesus when you pray to any statue, any saint, any person that's not God himself. God himself through his son, Jesus.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Divine Appointment. It's from our brand new series called Empowered, Spirit-Filled Witness. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts with his message called Divine Appointment.
The Bible is very clear about that. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is the only Son of God, the only sinless person. There's never been a person on earth without sin except Jesus. He is the only Lamb of sacrifice. Are we clear about that? This is really, really important. Once in a while, we'll have people come into this church and say, "Wow, you guys are really poor, aren't you?" I say, "Well, yeah, kind of, but why are you asking?" "Well, you know, you don't have a lot of statues. Like, where's all the decorations and where's all the statues? I'm used to that. I guess you can't afford any. Here's $100 to buy your first statue." I don't want a statue. We don't have statues on purpose. In fact, I believe it's a violation of one of the Ten Commandments to have an image, a graven image that we bow to and pray for that is sin. Do you see that cross over there? Do you see an image on that cross? No, you know why it's an empty cross? I don't want an image of Jesus on that cross. I don't want you touching an image of Jesus over there. I want you to know that Jesus the Christ is alive and well, resurrected in heaven, interceding for us. And his Holy Spirit is here, alive and well. I have access to God through Jesus the Son. So Peter, it says, he goes to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius bows before him. He says, "Get up off your knees. I'm just a man." Verse 33, he says, "So I sent you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you, Cornelius says. I love this. Peter shows up and there's a house full of Gentiles, soldiers, and Romans saying, just tell us, what has God told you to tell us? That's a divine appointment. I remember years ago when I first started pastoring. I was 21 years old when I started pastoring. I think it was I was probably 21 or 22. And there was a fellow that had just come out of prison. He'd been in there for about 5 years. And he just came out of prison, and he was a tough character. He had smuggled guns and led a prostitution ring, involved in the gangs. He was a tough guy, but he had been radically saved by Jesus. And I met him right after prison. I started mentoring him and discipling him. He was probably 20 years older than I, but he had a heart for God and a fire for God. And he was sort of the leader of his clan. And so one day he came to me and said, he said, Pastor, my whole family needs to hear about Jesus. I said, okay. He said, I'm going to gather them for you. So I show up at his house. He invited me there. And there was probably about 20 to 25 people in the living room, all sitting there in the living room. And he got up and he said, folks, all of you need to be saved. Because you're all lost. I brought the pastor here to tell you about it. So pastor, go ahead, tell them how to get saved. And I'm like, hi, my name is Mark. They were all listening like this, like, I don't want to be here, but since he told us to be here, we're here. And I was able to present the gospel to them. A couple of them came to Christ, but over the years, because of his witness, literally a whole bunch of his family members and cousins and aunts and uncles, there are people in this auditorium that are followers of Jesus right now because of his bold witness, willing to follow Christ. That's a divine appointment. I believe that it tells us in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, so he gathered together, they're listening, they're not believers, and Peter gets up and he starts presenting the gospel to them. In essence, he tells them that Jesus the Christ, being all God, became all man, lived a sinless life, was here on earth. He was condemned by the Romans, he was persecuted by the Jews, he hung on a cross, never sinned. They buried him on the third day. He rose again because he had no sin in his life to hold him down. And he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father. And whoever believes in the name of Jesus and confesses him as Lord and repents of their sin, then the Holy Spirit comes inside of them and changes them from the inside out. If they repent, believe, and are baptized, they are made new by the power of God. He presented the gospel clearly and powerfully to them. And something unusual happened as he was preaching. While Peter, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, that's the Jews, and all who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Let me pause for a second. Every Sunday before I get up to preach, I preach in partnership. I say, Lord, I'm just a babbling head, a talking, bald guy. But if you fill me, and I preach the word of God, then there's power. So come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, use these words. Holy Spirit, do what I can't do. Cut to the heart like only you know how. Convict like only you know how. Give revelation of truth like only you know how. And so when I come, I don't come in the power of Mark Job. I come in the power of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the power of the Holy Spirit that begins to minister and work in people's lives. Sometimes people come up to me and say, Pastor, wow, your words really, and I like to say, you know, no, it's not my words, it's the Holy Spirit working in you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Never forget that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon all of the Gentiles that were gathered. Now, this was a unique, unusual moment in history because just like it happened a couple months before at Pentecost, where 120 Jews gathered together in an upper room, the Holy Spirit came upon them. God was telling Peter, Peter, there's no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. I can save anybody who I want to save. This is not a religion for the white or the black or the Hispanic or the Asian. I am Lord of all people, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your background, no matter what you come from. I am the God of gods and the Lord of lords. So as he was speaking, these very Gentiles, this Roman centurion came upon him, the power of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly these men and women started to speak in a language that they had never learned and began to praise God in a tongue that they had never learned. It was a supernatural tongue. The Bible calls it glossolalia. It means tongues. And they began to praise God in other languages that they had never learned, a sign of what the prophet Joel had predicted, that in that time people would praise him in other tongues and languages that would come upon them. And so they praised God in those languages, and they were astonished that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. I want you to hear this. Peter and the rest noted that if these people had received the Holy Spirit, then they were truly born again, and therefore they should be baptized. I want to be clear about this. You cannot be a follower of Jesus, born again by the Spirit of God, without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I'm saved, but I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. No, there's no such thing as a person that's saved and doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Because the person that brings salvation is the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is who renews you and changes you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to cleanse out. He brings the forgiveness of Jesus and applies it to your life. He convicts you of sin. He leads you and guides you. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to manifest their gifts. When you believe and repent, the promise is that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that power that's greater than you, that changes you from the inside out. And as soon as they were aware that these people had received the power of the Holy Spirit, look in verse 46. And it says, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few more days. Once they had received the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew they're born again. And if they're born again, they don't have to wait a long time. They should go to the waters of baptism. You are first baptized by the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins, washing away, indwelling of the Holy Spirit that happens when you repent, believe, and ask God to come into your life. And then it needs to be followed very quickly after that by the baptism in waters where you show the entire world, listen, these waters I go into wash, it's a symbolism of me being washed. I come out of that water, symbolize that I've been cleansed by the power of God. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. A whole bunch of them in one day were baptized. Why? Because God was at work. Because Peter got ready to seize the opportunity. And when you step out in faith, God steps in. There are some of you here, just like Peter. You will be the catalyst for not only dozens, but maybe hundreds of others of people coming to Christ.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church with the second half of his message entitled Divine Appointment. It's from his current series called Empowered, Spirit-Filled Witness. This concludes our series. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.